With just weeks to go until the state Supreme Court election, the one and only debate between the two candidates has been postponed. It's Thursday, March 26th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the fight over the Line 5 oil and gas pipeline reroute in Wisconsin is still going on, and it's emblematic of fights happening across the Midwest. Danielle Kading brings us that story. And it's opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll chat with J.R. Radcliffe of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about what to expect this season. Stay with us.
What started with one experimental license more than 100 years ago is today Wisconsin Public Radio. With dozens of stations around the state, an app, and a comprehensive website at WPR.org. Thank you to our donors who made this journey possible.
Well, we were expecting to start the show with the recap of last night's debate between the two candidates for state Supreme Court here in Wisconsin, except there's one problem. That debate did not take place last night. Rich Kramer reports that's because Liberal Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor was diagnosed with kidney stones.
The debate between Taylor and Conservative Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar was scheduled for 7 p.m., but at around noon, Taylor's campaign announced she'd gone to urgent care after waking up feeling unwell. A follow-up statement said she was diagnosed with kidney stones and will take a brief pause from her campaign. A statement from Lazar's campaign said they wish for a speedy recovery and look forward to a robust debate as soon as possible. The campaigns agreed to reschedule the debate on Thursday, April 2nd. A Marquette University Law School poll released Tuesday found only 12% of respondents said they'd heard a lot about the race for the state's highest bench. There's less than 2 weeks before the April 7th election. The winner will replace conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley, who decided against running for re-election. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the agency is preparing to set up grant programs to address PFAS contamination. The agency is gearing up to roll out funding after the legislature passed bills to address the chemicals, which the governor has pledged to sign. DNR Secretary Karen Keon told WPR the agency aims to begin PFAS sampling under a community grant program this summer or fall. The program will award around $80 million of the roughly $133 million set aside to address the chemicals. Republican State Senator Eric Wemberger is one of the bill's authors. He says he hopes framework for the programs are in place by fall.
We should be kind of on our way at that point in 6 months with at least planning and some money out the door to help people test.
The DNR secretary says sampling would seek to determine PFAS levels in private wells, schools, childcare facilities, and sewage sludge. A northeastern Wisconsin anti-poverty nonprofit plans to close later this year amid serious financial challenges. As Joe Schultz reports, the area could lose millions of dollars in federal funding.
NUCAP operates in 10 counties, providing services to low-income residents and relying largely on state and federal grants. In a statement, the nonprofit's interim executive director said they plan to close in the coming months. Carrie Poser leads the organization that coordinates services addressing homelessness in most Wisconsin counties. She says local nonprofits want to take over 4 federal housing grants from NUCAP. But she's been told by federal officials they aren't accepting transfers. Poser says that could put 134 households at risk of losing housing and cost the region more than $2.7 million.
It will be harder for those communities to ever get new money in this way again.
The federal agency that distributes those funds could not be reached for comment. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
When the West Bend School District merges its high schools in the 2027-2028 school year, students will remain in the same building. However, it will mean the loss of a 5-decade heated rivalry. Since the 1970s, the West Bend School District has operated 2 high schools under one roof. The arrangement helped the previously growing district save money. but over the last decade, student enrollment has declined about 25%. This week, the school board voted to merge the two schools. Superintendent Jen Wimmer says kids don't have to be moved and teachers will not lose their jobs, but the sports rivalry between the schools will be lost.
That impact is around that identity and the emotion of that and the rivalry that we have. That's what's really critical, is what is our identity now?
The district has been planning the merger for more than a year. It'll take another 16 months to execute it. Well, you can feel it in the air today. It's opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers. At 1:10 this afternoon, Wisconsin's favorite baseball team will take the field against the Chicago White Sox at American Family Field. The Brewers had a pretty good run last year. They finished in first place in the National League Central and had a pretty strong playoff run. So are the Brewers ready for another stellar year? Ahead of today's game, I spoke with J.R. Radcliffe, a sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about what to expect this season. All right, so the Brewers really did have quite a good year last year, but there are a few changes to the roster this year. Tell me about some of the big names.
Yeah, 97 wins last year. That set a franchise record. This year, it is a lot of the same people, but there's a couple big ones that are gone, and that's Freddie Peralta, who was the starting pitcher, the sort of ace starting pitcher of the staff the last couple seasons. He has been traded to the New York Mets, and also third baseman Caleb Durbin, who is kind of a fan favorite. He was a rookie last year, made his debut, had a much better season than I think anybody anticipated. He was traded to the Boston Red Sox. So if you looked at the starting rotation at the beginning of last year, you're looking at almost an entirely new set of guys with Chad Patrick, who was also a rookie making his debut last year, as really the lone holdover who was healthy and ready to go at the start of 2025, a guy who's brought in as a free agent who's going to fill that void at third base, at least for now. There's a few other names, new guys who could play that role as well. A couple new starting pitchers from those same trades, Kyle Harrison from the Red Sox, Brandon Sproat from the Mets. Those guys are on the roster right now. They'll be starting right away here in the first week of the season.
Jacob Mizorowski had a big year last year. Him, maybe some other guys that we're expecting to step up this year, who would that be?
I mean, as your opening day starter, Jacob Mizorowski, probably one of the more exciting prospects to come to play for the Brewers in a long time. Obviously, Jackson Churio is in the not too distant past, but it was pretty exciting to see him come up, have some immediate success, make the All-Star team. He's at the front of this rotation with, you know, mentioned those two other guys, Kyle Harrison and Brandon Sproat, who are new to the Brewers through these trades. Those guys are really going to be kind of important, and they're very young. Brandon, they've both made big league debuts. Kyle Harrison used to be a top prospect in all of baseball when he was with the Giants. That prospect shine has dimmed a little bit, but he's still a pretty quality pitcher, and he's throwing a new pitch this year with the Brewers. He looks really effective. He's a left-hander. And Brandon Sproat was a top prospect in the Mets organization who made his debut last year. They're going to really need to rely on those guys. I mean, they do have a lot of starting pitchers. They have a lot of depth. I don't know if they have, you know, the five guys that you can point to and say, these will be the five best pitchers this year. I don't think even the Brewers know that for sure. And then in terms of offense, you know, it is, again, a lot of the same players. Jackson Churio, who's, you know, still young, still only 22 years old, just turned 22. They need him to take a step forward. He's been very, very good for his age the last two seasons.
Tell us about the White Sox, Shane Smith, who's expected to start. He is an All-Star. What can we expect out of the White Sox and how the Brewers measure up to them?
Shane Smith is really kind of the interesting story. He was a Brewers prospect. He was an undrafted free agent signed by the Brewers. He had a lot of injuries in college, so he didn't get drafted, but he was a pretty interesting talent. And they made a decision after the 2024 season not to it can get kind of complicated with the rosters, but they basically didn't protect him by adding him to the 40-man roster, which is essentially your pool of big leaguers and minor leaguers who are knocking on the door. That's a former Brewers prospect who is now about to pitch on opening day in the Brewers Stadium against the Brewers 2 years after he was in that organization. So this is a really wild achievement for him and a huge honor. And I don't know if I think Shane Smith is going to be a superstar, but he's probably a guy the Brewers would like to have back.
One of the things that you've written recently that kind of caught my eye was the battle for how the Brewers fans are actually going to be able to watch these games. And I know I've heard from quite a few fans on this as well. So what can you tell us about that?
Basically, Major League Baseball has overtaken production and distribution of the broadcast. No longer will the Brewers be airing on FanDuel Sports Wisconsin or any of those similar networks. Major League Baseball is going to be distributing them. Now, the problem with that is then Major League Baseball had kind of a six-month window to negotiate with every provider across the state, cable, satellite. And what we've got is a situation where going all the way up to opening day, we don't even know for sure everywhere in Wisconsin which channel the Brewers are going to be on and all these different providers.
That was J.R. Radcliffe, a sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We were talking about today being opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers. That game takes place at 1:10 this afternoon. Coming up, we'll hear about the long-running fight over the planned Line 5 reroute project in northern Wisconsin. It's part of a larger battle over pipeline projects across the upper Midwest. Stay with us.
When you're online, visit WPR.org. You'll find news headlines from WPR and NPR and feature stories about arts, culture, music, and politics. Explore our live audio streams, links to program information, or check out upcoming events in your area. WPR.org. We're not just on your radio.
And finally, in northern Wisconsin, the Canadian energy firm Enbridge is working on a $450 million reroute of its controversial Line 5 oil and gas pipeline. And while the company has already secured key approvals for the project, its state permits are being challenged in court. As WPR's Danielle Kading reports, the fight is another front in the larger battle across the upper Midwest over pipeline projects. It's a conflict that often pits energy and jobs against potential harm to American Indian tribes and the environment as a whole.
On a side road in northern Wisconsin, Bad River Tribal member Joe Bates flies his drone over the path of the Line 5 reroute proposed by Canadian energy firm Enbridge.
They have a big right-of-way that they've cut down, laid all the trees down.
In late February, crews began clearing trees along a new 41-mile stretch of Enbridge's oil and gas pipeline. The company first proposed a new route for the pipeline 6 years ago after the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa sued Enbridge to shut down Line 5 on tribal lands, fearing the line might rupture. Back on the reservation, Joe Bates pours a cup of tea from plants collected on tribal lands.
This is Bad River medicine. Smell it.
We're visiting Bad River tribal member Sandy Derrigan at her home on the reservation. Derrigan shows off shrubs like Labrador tea and sage that she harvested in the region to use as medicines. Derrigan says the new pipeline route still threatens critical resources.
We rely on our deer meat, our fish, our wild rice. We won't have that if there's a spill.
Native people have argued that oil and gas pipelines threaten tribal lands by risking catastrophic spills that could contaminate drinking water, wetlands, and ecosystems that sustain traditional food sources. The Enbridge project is set to cross some 200 Wisconsin waterways and affect 100 acres of wetlands. In 2024, state regulators issued key permits that were challenged by the tribe and environmental groups, but upheld by an administrative law judge. Enbridge's director of Midwest Region Operations, Paul Eberth, maintains that Line 5 is vital for the region's energy needs.
The Line 5 relocation project is important, not just to Enbridge, but to our country, to the country of Canada, to the communities that the refined products that come from Line 5 serve.
But the group Midwest Environmental Advocates, along with the tribe, want a court to overturn state permits and halt construction. Rob Lee is a senior staff attorney with the group.
The argument against the reroute itself is the damage and the havoc that it will wreak across all of those waterways and wetlands in northern Wisconsin.
Construction would include blasting and drilling in waterways and wetlands. And Lee says the fight is not just about the reroute, but the entire pipeline. Dave Strifling of Marquette Law School's Water Law and Policy Initiative says the debate over Line 5 in Wisconsin is similar to fights seen over the Dakota Access Pipeline and other projects in Minnesota and the Dakotas.
These disputes raise some of the same themes of tribal autonomy and environmental impacts and broader debates about energy independence versus renewables and climate issues that are involved here.
Line 5 now carries some 23 million gallons of oil and natural gas liquids daily from Superior through northern Wisconsin and Michigan to Ontario. Opponents say the reroute locks in dependence on fossil fuels that contribute to global warming, and they point to the company's track record of spills. Enbridge's Paul Eberth says pipelines are safe, but they're not perfect.
Enbridge has been there to remediate, you know, any releases or spills that have happened out in the environment, and we're going to continue to be there if there are any in the future.
Supporters say the pipeline project would add $135 million to Wisconsin's economy and create 700 jobs during construction. Neil Sikich is with the Steamfitters Union Local 601.
You know, I'm working with the community about bringing on people for this project. It's good jobs. You know, it brings in a lot of money to the community.
While Enbridge officials expect to prevail in the end, an attorney for Bad River says the tribe will never stop fighting to protect its homeland. For the Upper Midwest Newsroom, I'm Danielle Kading in Superior, Wisconsin.
The Upper Midwest Newsroom is a public media collaboration among Wisconsin, North and South Dakota, and Minnesota, made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And we'll end the show with a quick check of your opening day forecast. Mostly cloudy across Wisconsin today. Some early morning rain in northern and central parts of the state and southern Wisconsin, I'm sorry to say. Could see a little bit of rain by about midday, right when the Brewers start playing today. Highs getting into the 40s and 60s today. Overnight, any rain ending early, then cloudy, windy, and cold with lows in the teens and 20s. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Don't forget to leave us a rating and review. We really appreciate it. And of course, we love hearing from you. Tell us what you like about the show. And if you think there's room for improvement, we love hearing that as well. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.